Sure, there's a big quarterback battle happening amongst the Auburn football team, but who else is impacted by who wins this thing?
Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken parm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackman. Thank you so much for making Locked On Auburn your first listen every single day. It's Friday, so it's a Ferg Friday. So we are joined by Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. And Jay Ferg, I thought we would jump into some listener questions, and then we'll kind of talk about the NFL draft this weekend, if that's cool with you. All right, so a narrative that I have heard that's kind of emerged ever since this quarterback battle has kind of taken flight was, does it matter who wins the job as it pertains to, like, the wide receivers or the running backs or the tight ends? So, like, you know, if Calzada comes in and works with the twos, or is there a chance if he builds chemistry with another receiver that maybe wasn't a starter, will they elevate? So Jamie C's question is, can you guys predict how the skill positions on offense could be used differently, assuming a quarterback wins the job? Is there any merit to this talking point, or is this just off-season chatter in your mind?
I don't think there's a ton of merit to it, because the thing about it is in this battle, everybody's working with everybody, right? Yeah. We may see, like on A-Day or, you know, in certain, we may see this guy's working with these receivers at this point in time, but they are rotating it around. Right. Every receiver is kind of getting reps with every quarterback, and every quarterback's getting reps, not just with the wide receivers, but with the different guys at running back, offensive line, tight ends. It was pretty even in spring practices. There might have been an order, right, where you're, sure, you know, TJ Finley would go first, and then, you know, Robbie Ashford, and then you would have Gurner and Calzada in the back. But wide receivers were constantly rotating. Tight ends were constantly rotating. You know, if you wanted to see a guy throw to another guy, you were probably going to catch it. Like, all you had to do was just stand out there long enough, and it was going to happen. So, I think that when we get into fall camp, it's going to be everybody with everybody, just like it was in the spring. I think in the summer, when you talk about quarterbacks working with wide receivers specifically, in the player-led stuff, I mean, it's all one big pool, and everybody just goes out and works with it. So, I don't particularly see a situation where it's like, well, this guy wasn't a starter, but he was working with a guy who wasn't a starter, and then now they're starting. Like, I don't see that kind of case, because that's not how they've kind of run this battle. This battle has been very even and kind of rotating. You know, maybe a guy like Finley gets more first team reps, but watch drills, watch stuff like that. Like, there was a lot of mixing and matching going on out there.
Sure. So do you think with wide receiver, obviously wide receiver is a very different position the quarterback, because you play a bunch of them in a game. Do you think that rotation will be somewhat deep this fall, or at least early in the season, or do you think they'll also know the answer to that question going into the season?
I think they need it to be deep. I think you need to be able to rely on more than just, you know, three or four guys. So the thing about it is there's just not a whole lot of depth there, period, right now. And there's not a ton of separation either. Like, you feel good about Cheddar Jackson being one of your key receivers. You would probably feel good about Javarius Johnson being one of your key receivers. And then it's just kind of like, all right, who else? Right. So, you know, it's going to be who emerges, but I think it's not just going to be, well, that's the guy, and well, we're at three or four. No, like, they need a lot of guys, and guys are going to play specific roles. Guys are only going to be in certain spots and certain situations. Like, you need all of that, because this is not a crew. I mean, this is not Alabama. This is not Ohio State. This is not a receiver group where you're like, here's our three best. They're clearly better than everybody else, and we're just going to roll with them. And even then, those guys rotate a little bit some as well. So I think that, you know, I think that they need to be able to, like, especially with the fact that you play Mercer and San Jose State your first two games, like, try these guys out. Like, see what they do when you throw them into the fire. Because there are guys for Auburn to have a really good offense this season, or to have an offense that's going to be successful enough to win, you know, win more games this year in SEC play.
Right.
They're going to need a guy, or I think multiple guys, who we have not seen a ton of yet at wide receiver play well. right? So, you know, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. You don't want to pin all your hopes on one or two guys, and I don't think they're going to do that.
So you didn't mention Malcolm Johnson Jr. there, and that's a guy that Harsin talked up in his last media availability before A-Day, yeah. And then he impressed me on A-Day.
Oh, yeah. I think Tavarius Dawson's going to have a big role this year.
Sure.
It's just those two guys you just haven't seen a ton of, right? Shedrick Jackson, the production is there, and then Javarius Johnson, the production is there to a degree from last year. And then it's a drop-off. Then it's like you're talking about dudes who haven't had double-digit catches, haven't had very many targets. But yeah, Johnson, absolutely. I would put Johnson in there. I'm high on Malcolm Johnson. Also very high on Tavarius Dawson as well. Sure. And like Lanny King, like if you keep moving that dude's going to play a role. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't even think they know what it's fully going to look like yet.
Yeah.
They're going to move him around. They need guys like that. And then if a Jay Fair or Amari Kelly if one of those guys can jump up and pop in year one, that would be huge for them. Don't need him to be a 30, 40 catch guy, but just be somebody that they can, you know, turn to at times during games.
I mean, is there a chance that Auburn has like, I don't know, four or five dudes that all go over 400 yards? Like that's kind of the upside, right? Because I don't think any of us see a guy, you know, hitting 1,000 yards this year. I personally don't.
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of, you know, bold predictions and hot takes and things like that, which I love. I'm all for that. But I just don't see that happening. So what's the upside as far as, like, the yardage distribution among this unit, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you may have one or two guys that are kind of the key dudes, or like I could see it being in tiers. I could think you see one or two guys at this range and then two or three more right under them. And then maybe one or two of that, like, I think that's what you're probably going to see more than just, hey, here's a dude that's going to blow up. If Auburn has a guy who blows up and catches it that for 1,000 yards this year, it's like, wow. Okay, great. Like,
who is, you know, it? If somebody goes over 1,000 yards, who is it? To me, it's Malcolm Johnson, just because of the upside of, you know, the big play ability. But
yeah, I think it would have to be a big play guy. Or yeah. I mean, it's a dude like it's a dude like Shedrick Jackson or Javarius Johnson, where it's like you just got the ball a ton because you're the older dude, you're the more experienced dude. But I think what you're most likely is going to see is you're going to see it spread out. That's going to be the thing for this offense this year. Tank Bigsby is your best player. You're going to find as many ways to get the ball into the hands of Tank Bigsby as possible. But you have you have no clear, like, superstars at wide receiver. On the flip side, you have a very deep tight end room. So this is going to be popping it around all different places. I think Bigsby's going to get involved in the receiving game a ton, as well as, you know, what they're going to do running the ball with those guys. But also, I think they're going to be able to kind of spread it out and pick it around. And I think that could help Auburn in the fact that, you know, you just can't key on one or two guys and you'll be fine. So I think what they've got to do is they've got to develop, and it's going to be very game plan centric. I think it's going to be very matchup centric, where you've got to find ways to be like, all right, anybody can blow. It's kind of like in basketball, right? It's kind of like what Bruce Pearl's always said about his basketball team. It can be anybody on any given night. I think that's what the football team's got to do with dudes that have to catch the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Like have three different guys that have 120 yard games over the course of the season. Like that, I think that would be encouraging for a lot of fans. I think if you gave that option to Auburn fans right now, the vast majority of them would take that.
Yeah. Cause you don't want to be in a situation where you just have one really, really good receiver. One really, really good receiver gets game planned around, like, you know, and can get slowed down against really good defenses. You know, there's only a very select few college receivers who are kind of matchup proof, and there's just not one of those on Auburn's roster that we know of.
Right.
It just, you know, hey, there's very few of those guys, period, in college football.
Right. Right. All right. So some transfers came in, some guys that we were really excited about, but they took second team reps, a ton of them over spring. Who breaks out of those positions next? But first I want to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that looks and tastes like a candy bar. And there's a ton of different things that you can absolutely love about this. But the best thing about Built Bars is they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to built.com and order now. All Built Bars and Puffs are covered 100% in real chocolate. That means with Built Bars, you can eat healthy, and you can actually enjoy it at the same time. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. That is at built.com. Justin Ferguson How can folks check out everything you have going on right now at the Auburn Observer?
Yeah, auburnobserver.com. Click around there. You can kind of get the a look at all of our newsletters that we put out recently. Do a free podcast as well once a week. We've been putting those out on Mondays. This week we had I did a story on Jason Jones. Found out, did some digging. Jason Jones is the biggest defensive lineman in Auburn history. He's the He's the second heaviest ever, only behind big man Tony Fair, and he's tied for the tallest ever. So you put that out on a little nice little chart, and it's like, oh, he's in the top right corner.
Who is he tied with in height?
In terms of height, there's been quite a few 6'6 guys who have played at Auburn on the defense line, including, it's funny, Auburn's got one of the biggest defensive line, the biggest defensive line they've ever had. You could also say Jeffrey Embaugh would be right up there as well.
Okay.
Embaugh's just, got about 15 or 20 pounds lighter. So did a story on Jason Jones, did a story on Zepp Jasper this week, doing the offseason kind of deep dives on the players. And then I had a really fun conversation with Matt Brown of Extra Points on Thursday, where we talked NCAA reform, the future of like scholarships and stuff like that. We talked a lot about NIL. We talked about Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. And for probably more people who'd be interested in this, listening to this, we talked about the EA Sports NCAA football game. Or the college football game, because Matt has got some sources at EA and gave us some info that like I hadn't seen anywhere else. So some kind of inside kind of info on the game, which is still supposed to come out next summer. So you can check all that out with a subscription, $6 a month, $60 a year, auburnobserver.com. And then whatever we do gets sent to your email inbox. You either get a newsletter or a podcast pretty much every weekday during the offseason.
I can't comprehend how many copies of that game is going to sell.
It's going to be insane.
It's going to be historic. It's going to be crazy.
Yes.
It's going to be crazy. I can't wait for it. So, I have not listened to that yet, but I need to check that out. All right, Jay Ferg. So, our next question is from JG, and he points out that DJ James, the transfer corner from Oregon, and Marquise Gilbert, the top JUCO safety that committed to Auburn. They took a ton of second team reps in the spring and ask us, who do we think will break out in those two specific positions, a corner and safety? What are your thoughts on those positions?
Yeah, so the thing with T.A. James is, you're taking second team reps because look at the guys ahead of him. You do bring back Nehemiah Pritchett, you do bring back Jalen Simpson. Well, those are your two corners, right? Or they have been your two corners. And then you have Donovan Kaufman playing nickel, and then some safety as well. So, a little bit tougher when you're coming in and there are guys who are already established at the spot. Safety is a little bit different. By the way, I think DJ James, you need 3-4 corners,
no
straight
question
up corners to be then. I think James is going to definitely be in that mix. Safety is a little different because Zion Puckett was banged up during camp, and then like you said, you move Kaufman around from spot to spot. Marquise Gilbert, when talking to Zach Etheridge in the spring, he was like, look, everybody comes along at a different pace, he's gonna be fine. It's just you're jumping right in, and some of these guys. So at safety, you're looking at Caleb Wooden was kind of the exception to the rule, but he was more second team guy. You had I'm blanking on buddy's name. Oh, I feel so bad now because I had it in my head.
For the safeties?
Caden Bridges. Caden Bridges was getting first-team reps. They were like, whoa, what the heck? Caden Bridges is getting first-team reps. Well, the thing about it is Caden Bridges has had a year in this system. He knows the playbook. And so if you're running out in spring practice, just say, all right, get out here and run this. Mm-hmm. That guy's going to have more. He might not have been a big recruit. He's not a JUCO guy. He might not even play as much football as this dude has. But he has that institutional knowledge. He's able to jump in there. I think Marquise Gilbert is going to be key in that as well. So, the thing about it is that, and I wrote about this a few weeks ago at the Observer, the top of the line, pretty much a defense, I would say defensive line and edge rusher and secondary all fit this bill. Your top level talent, your guys who are stars, those are all pretty much not locked in, but you feel like who they are. The big story in the secondary is that second wave. And no position group had as much change as the secondary did. They went out and got these transfers. They went out and got 4-star guys. J.D. Rim had a really good spring. Okay, Austin Osberry is coming in the summer. He was as highly recruited as Rim was.
Right.
So I think, when you talk about guys who can break out, it's you need that second wave to come up because you're going to have to rely on them. You look at you know, snap counts over the years for Auburn's defense is you need about three or four corners and you need about three or four safeties to not just be fill out a two deep, but like play and contribute. Yeah. And so I think those two guys being dudes who have experience and being high impact. Keontae Scott coming in the summer as well. Number one JUCO corner. I think he will be involved in that as well. So I think you saw some of these younger guys and maybe some of these lesser heralded guys kind of pop up in the spring because they already knew the playbook and the rest of these guys were kind of get adjusted to it.
Right. So when you say, you know, three or four corners, three or four safeties, are you counting the nickel in that as well? Or is that its own separate thing?
Probably you could say, because the thing with Auburn, and they're going to keep doing this,
it's Kaufman, right? I mean, Kaufman's a safety that also moves to nickel.
And you know, the thing that they did last season, was the nickel is not just a position, right? It used to be in the past when Auburn ran like a base 4-2-5, it was like, that's what you do, right? You think of the Rudy Fords and you think of all those dudes that it kind of played.
Threezy, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The mindset of the nickel, as Derek Mason said it, and we have also heard that, you know, Jeff Schmetting follows this as well because it's going to be similar systems, is that sometimes you need your corner to be your nickel to be a third corner. Sometimes you need to be a slot corner. Sometimes you need to be a third safety. And it depends on the situation. It depends on the down and distance and all that fun stuff, who you use. So if you need a safety, Donovan Kaufman makes a ton of sense there. But maybe you want more of a corner. Nehemiah Pritchett played a ton on the inside last year because you had Roger and you had Jalen on the outside.
Right.
So there might be situations where you see Donovan Kaufman drop back into safety and that nickel is more of a corner. And so that could be a DJ James. You could push Nehemiah Pritchett back in there. I mean, they worked out so many dudes. Rim was another guy who played that spot. They worked out so many dudes at that nickel spot because their mindset is we want a safety who can play nickel and we want a corner to play nickel, right? We don't want it just to be one guy, right? We want it to be situational because some guys are better at some things than others. And so they're going to make it a lot more situational. And they did last year compared to you're a nickel, this is what you do, kind of spot. And I think, to me, that is a little bit more similar to what they do in the NFL. And I think it's a lot more situational, a lot more package-based football. And I think that's just kind of the mindset. Like, we talk about Auburn having a pro-style offense now. I think they have a pro-style defense as well, too.
Good point.
It's just how it's, you know, just how you utilize players. It's very different than what you did under Kevin Steele and under Gus Malzahn on offense. I used to say the Kevin Steele defense is lethal simplicity. When it worked, man, it worked.
Right.
But you knew what was coming, right? And so it very, very much relied on technique and having really, really good talent. This defense is more of mixing and matching, changing things up, you know, and doing stuff like that. And we'll see, you know, I mean.
It no seems one like the talent's there too, though.
Right, yeah. So no one can sit here and say the Kevin Steele defense wasn't effective, right? It was an awesome defense, and it, you know, it carried an era for Auburn football. This defense is more of, just because you have different philosophies in charge, it's just this one's a little bit more of scheming and doing stuff like, you knew what was coming on a Kevin Steele defense, right? You knew what was coming, and they still could beat you. This one is more of, you don't know what's coming, and we're going to use the talent that we have and the depth that we have to take advantage of it.
I think that's really well put. Justin Ferguson, our guest. We'll dive into what could possibly happen this weekend for the Auburn Tigers in the NFL draft in just a moment. But I want to tell you about our friends at betonline.net, as it remains your number one source for all of your betting, stats, and sports info. If you like prop bets, there are a ton of prop bets for the draft this weekend. We can go on and on and on about all the different things that you can wager on over the course of the next few days. Check it all out at BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so full disclosure, we're recording this Thursday afternoon before the first round of the NFL draft. It does not appear that Roger McCreary will be taken. If Roger McCreary is taken, I will do an emergency pod and put that up as well. But for the remainder of the weekend, so Friday night and Saturday all day, we're probably going to hear Roger go Friday night and Zacoby and Smoke Saturday. I'm seeing some big boards that have come out in the last 24 hours that have Zacoby ranked higher than Smoke, which I have not seen throughout this entire draft process. They also listed Zacoby as an edge on several of those, which I don't really see what's up with that. No. Have you heard any of that? Have you heard him working out as like an edge rusher?
It's been box linebacker from what I can
tell. That's what I've seen too. And so I think some people are just kind of clamoring, putting a bunch of stuff together last second because they didn't watch everybody. And that's okay. It's impossible to watch everyone. So I get it.
Maybe it's like you're looking at it. It's like, oh, there he was an outside linebacker. But even then he was more of a middle. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't know how you can look at his stats and be like, oh yeah, that's an edge player, but whatever.
the man who had 9 million tackles. That's edge rusher.
Yep. That's right. That just screams edge to me. Whatever. But yeah, I mean, what do you think about these guys as far as, you know, projecting them into the NFL? I mean, what are you expecting to see this weekend from an Auburn standpoint?
It's so ridiculous that if Roger McCreary's arms were a little bit longer, he'd have been a first rounder. That's it. Like, that is when the first round talk from McCreary ended as soon as he got measured.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah,
in his hometown of all places.
And it was like, oh, his arms are short. And it's like, I saw something that said it, like, he would be the shortest armed corner, outside corner in the NFL if he played there tomorrow. Okay. He just played in the SEC and was a great outside corner, right? And yeah. I can see how, you know, the measurements, like, you know, I understand why they're all the way they are, but man, the man's production speaks for itself. I think Roger is an example. And there was a guy who asked me this in the mailbag on Friday, that, you know, like, why are guys dropping? Like, why does Auburn have guys dropping? It's like, look at the size, look at the measurements, you know? Mm-hmm. You think about some dudes who were really, really good for Auburn, those middle linebackers that Auburn's had. It's like, they're just small, or they're heck of a good football players. I mean, they are awesome football players, but the NFL is not going to fall in love with that, especially if you can go draft freak show somewhere else and think, okay, maybe because it's a traits game at the next level.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. I think Roger's just as good as a lot of that. Like, that second tier corners, once you get past the Sauce Gardeners and the Derek Stingley's, like, it's, man, put Roger in there, man. Look what he did. Yeah. Very curious to see what happens with Zacoby. Again, if he was a little bigger, I think we're talking about a completely different kind of guy.
Sure.
In the draft process. But I am the opinion that, especially if you get into day three, draft good football players and let them play football. You know, don't overthink it. Smoke's a very interesting case as well. I do wonder if Smoke is going to get the Jamie and Sherwood treatment at the next level, where it's like, maybe we see you more as a linebacker. Maybe we see you more as a sub package guy. And look, Jamie was going to be that guy before he got hurt, in New York this past year.
Yeah. He won the starting job. Yeah.
Right. I think that would be a good spot for Smoke to be. And it's just going to be a matter of just take a chance on him and find a role. Cause I think neither of those guys, you're going to sit there and say day one starter or anything like that. They're going to have to develop into roles, but find roles for them, because they're really good football players. And you look at, in the course of their careers at Auburn, they were really good players on really good defenses in the toughest conference in college football against the toughest schedule in college football. That should speak a lot before you go in and say, well, there's a linebacker who's a little bit bigger, or a little bit longer, who played, you know, Division II. And it's like, okay, but like, has he ever played anybody that's athletic? Like, has he ever played any really good football player? And so that's where I think Auburn might be interesting. And then I'm just curious to see, like, who, you know, could there be a fourth? Could somebody just take a flyer on someone?
Yeah. My next question, if I told you, okay, four Auburn guys get drafted, it was a three that we discussed just now, and then a fourth, who do you think it is?
I would say the fourth would be Demetrius Robertson.
Yeah.
Here's why. Former five-star. Tested fairly well, I think, in at Pro Day. He's got some special teams versatility.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it's just like, if you're just going to be like, maybe this dude has something. Like, he's old. He's old for this draft class. He's got that special teams versatility. And we know that when he was healthy, he was awesome, coming out of high school. I could see them being like, yeah, former five-star. But those, like, you think about the seventh-round guys, sixth and seventh-round guys, five-stars who didn't necessarily pan out in college like people expected them to for injuries or whatever reason, that towards the end is usually where somebody get, like, they will pick one out. You know, the Byron Cowards, Trenton Thompson got picked, I think, around that range a couple years ago. So, like, wouldn't surprise me to see D-Rob get that shot. And just somebody, seventh round pick, roll a dice, take him to camp and see if they can stick. And because, I mean, I think he could be a valuable guy for you if you put him in the right spot.
Broderius Ham is interesting to me.
Yeah, I would love to see Broderius get drafted.
Me too. And I mean, he surprised some folks when he declared. He at least surprised me because the rest of the O-line came back. Mm-hmm. Maybe he heard some good news. You know, maybe there was something there. But he's got the size, and you know, we've talked about traits a ton. I think he has some of them. Very, very raw, but if a team kind of has room for an extra offensive lineman, I think he makes sense.
Yeah, and I go back to he did not play on as good of lines as these two guys I'm about to mention.
Okay.
But I see, you know, Prince Tagovailoa get drafted, and I see Jack Driscoll get drafted. And I'm like, yeah, Broderius Ham. Like, to me, Broderius Ham was that one guy on Auburn's offensive line, even in the ups and downs, where you're like, that dude's doing his job more often than not, and, like, is doing it pretty well. You know, I think that, you know, Ham, he, you know, I'm not an evaluator of offensive line talent, but I was like, look, if you're taking a chance on guys late to see who could stick, a guy with good size that played in the SEC on the offensive line makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I'll take it. Justin, one more time, how can folks find you, hear you, read you, support you, all that stuff?
AuburnObserver.com, $6 a month or $60 a year. Mailbag out today, podcast throughout the week. You can listen to our new podcast. It'll probably be up all Monday morning.
Awesome. And we will be back Monday morning to recap the NFL draft. Can Auburn baseball pull off a miracle in Knoxville? We'll talk about it all on Monday's Locked on Auburn. See ya.